While many are publicly celebrating Rosa Parks' life, her death has raised the stakes in a feud between those closest to her. As Quinn Kleinfelter reports from Detroit Public Radio, both parties claim the other side could hijack Parks' name and likeness for commercial gain.
Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go.
About half a mile from the gates of Greater Grace Temple in Detroit, Charlotte Dietz Porter waited in line several weeks ago to pay tribute to Rosa Parks. She stood in line for 12 hours and said she had no regrets.
Because I loved Rosa Parks, I loved what she stood for. The way this turned out, that it would turn people's minds and hearts around, that we will all become united as one like we should be.
But uniting was far from the minds of some of Parks' family. Less than a week after the funeral, some of Parks' relatives began publicly questioning her will, made in 2003. Parks was a widow, and she had no children. The will named two representatives for Parks' estate, neither of whom are family members, her longtime caregiver, Elaine Steele, and retired Judge Adam Shakur. Parks' nephew, William McCauley, sued to contest the will. His attorney, Darren Findling, says Parks' family fears the caregiver and judge took advantage of the civil rights icon in her final years when she suffered from dementia.
The objections to the 2003 will relate to Ms. Rosa Parks' mental status at that point in her life, as well as an allegation that there may have been undue influence in the execution of the 2003 will.
Findling says Parks' family began worrying back in 1999 when Parks' caregivers sued the music group Outkast for using her name in a song without permission. The suit requested $5 billion in damages. Outkast's record company settled out of court for an undisclosed amount. Parks' family said Rosa Parks would never have pursued such a lawsuit on her own, so a Michigan court appointed an independent guardian over Parks' legal affairs. Former Detroit mayor and state Supreme Court Justice Dennis Archer says he went to see for himself how Parks was being treated.
She was being well taken care of by her caregivers.
But Archer says there was a sharp dispute over whether family members were allowed to visit Parks or whether the family even cared to make the effort.
I took it upon myself, while it was not my responsibility, to reach out, and I met with the family. I just thought it would be best if all parties could come together. I was not successful in making that happen. So now that there is a dispute, I'm not shocked by it.
Days after Parks' nephew contested her will, caregiver Steele and retired Judge Shakur filed a counterclaim to uphold the will. Parks had given them power of attorney in 1998 when she created the living trust for her assets. She doesn't appear to have had much money, apart from what she gained late in life from the Outkast settlement. Shirley Kegler, an attorney representing the caregivers, says they are concerned that whoever gains control of Parks' name and likeness could tarnish her image for monetary gain.
It could reap some financial reward, but most importantly, I think, for those who control it, it should be and probably would be used in a light that just memorializes her good works and not used for profit.
There's already been talk of creating a line of Rosa Parks figurines and putting her likeness on long-distance telephone cards. Who would benefit from that is not exactly clear. A hearing in the case is scheduled for December 14th, but both parties indicate they'd like to settle before that, out of court. For NPR News, I'm Quinn Kleinfelter in Detroit.